Good afternoon and welcome to the November quarterly all-in payments call. My name is Catherine Jett, and I'll be your moderator for today's call. Let's move to the next slide, please. At this time, we will go over a few logistics and housekeeping items. But before we get started, today's call is scheduled for 60 minutes and is being recorded and transcribed. If you'll click the Q&A icon at the top, we are posting information into a chat as well. As a reminder, per the Ticket Program Agreement, Part 3, Section 11, Subsection 1, EN staff are not permitted to record this meeting or capture the transcript. All post-call items, which include the transcript from today's call, audio, presentation, and recap, will be available in 2 weeks on the Your Ticket to Work website under Training and Events, Archives, National Calls, EM Payment Calls, and look for November 6, 2024. Now, everyone will receive a GovDelivery Blast. It will be sent out after the post-call items are posted to the website. Now, during the call today, during the Q&A session, we'll have a very interactive Q&A where we'll have MS Teams chat. Has been disabled, but all questions must be asked aloud. So if joining via the phone and you wish to ask a question, just raise your hand utilizing star 5, and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator. Then you'll press star 6 to unmute yourself. Now, this is during the Q&A session today. As well, if you're joining on the MS Teams application, click the raise hand icon up top, and the facilitator will provide access to the audio and allow you to unmute your microphone. All right, next slide, please. Please ask questions regarding the topics discussed on the call today. Any additional questions or comments that you may have can be sent to EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov email. Now, links shared during the presentation can be viewed by clicking on, like I advised before, on the Q&A icon up top of the MS Teams window. We have closed captioning available for participants who join using the MS Teams application by utilizing a separate closed caption link. Now, to turn on closed captions, if you're using the MS Teams application, you want to click on More, the top of the MS Teams window, click Language and Speech, click Next, select Turn on Live Captions, and when using the link option, paste the link in the browser and it'll open in a separate window to view closed captions. All right, at this time, next slide, please. At this time, it is my pleasure to announce Nicole Black, our presenter, EM Payments Manager. Take it away, Nicole.
Thank you, Catherine. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the November All EM Payments Call. As you can see, we have a packed agenda today. So we will start with an announcement, then I will cover the July ePay file stats. We'll go over our ePay reminders, GovDelivery messages, a few reminders about the Payments Help Desk, EN Payments reminders. We'll cover information about concurrent ticket holders. We'll review the resources available to you all, and then we will transition to our Q&A session, and then we will have our closing remarks. Next slide, please. So here's an important announcement for you guys. SSA is unable to approve payments from November 16th through the 27th of this year. So the reason is due to a mandatory system upgrade, the Social Security Administration will be unable to issue payments to service providers from approximately December 16th through December 27th, 2024. SSA will continue to review payment requests during this time frame, but will not be able to submit any to the Treasury Department for payment. SSA will not penalize service providers for any EN or VR payment request that had filing deadlines in December of 2024, but SSA expects all service providers to submit their requests for EN and VR payments for both December 2024 and for July 2025, by July 31st, 2025. So any payment request that is submitted that was approved prior to December 16th, when the outage occurs, will go to Treasury, and the payment will be received within the typical 7 to 10 business day time frame. Also during the outage, SSA will continue to review all cases submitted using the first-in, first-out method, but no payments can be approved. So we want to reiterate that. However, you will still be able to see any denied or diarized cases in the portal. And last but not least, please continue to submit all of your payment requests during this time period anyway. Don't hold on to them. We want you to continue to submit those on a regular basis as you would normally. Next slide, please. The July ePay file stats. The last ePay file was completed in September of 2024, and with that ePay file, a total of 10,438 claims were paid, a total of 3,091 SSNs were paid, and that gave us a total amount paid out to the ENs at $5,919,126. And as I'm sure you all are aware, we have started processing the October ePay file, and we started that on Wednesday, October 30th. Next slide, please. ePay reminders. Phase 1, Milestone 4, is paid via ePay, but ENs must still submit payment requests for Phase 1, Milestones 1 through 3 through the ticket portal with proof of relationship. Unassigned tickets are not included in ePay. ENs must have passed their annual service and supports review to be a part of the ePay file. Please keep in mind that the ePay file is processed in SSN order, not provider ID order. So as you all know, Phase 1, Milestone 4, Phase 2 milestones and outcomes are all paid via ePay. And ENs are encouraged to not submit for these payment types via the portal without evidence of earnings when the EN portion of the ePay file is being processed. Submitting for such payments does slow down processing and causes duplicate claim months. However, if you have evidence of earnings, so if you have the pay stubs or a work number report for those Phase 1 Milestone 4s, Phase 2 Milestones or Outcomes, please go ahead and submit those payment requests via the portal. We can process those only if they are accompanied by evidence of earnings. Next slide, please. Please allow TPM to pay all available claims via ePay before requesting payment via the ticket portal. If there is a PII violation, this will remove the EN from ePay for 3 months or one ePay file. During this time, the EN must submit payment requests via the ticket portal. For example, if an EN violates the PII rule while a file is currently being processed, for example, in February, they would be removed from the next ePay file, which would be May. Next slide, please. Here's a reminder about our Gov delivery messages that you all receive. The Social Security Administration communicates important information with service providers through Gov delivery messages, including ticket portal issues and outages. Next slide. So please make sure that the email address below is saved to your safe senders list so that these messages do not go into your spam or junk email boxes. And that email address is ticket2work@subscriptions.ssa.gov. Next slide. Thank you. Payment help desk reminders. As a reminder, for payment inquiries, all communication regarding ticket holders and employment networks must be with suitable EN staff. That would be your approved portal users, program contacts, signatory authorities, payment contacts, etc. PII, personally identifiable information. If an EN needs to submit PII, the submission must be done via fax or mail. Please do not send any PII information via email. When you are sending a request or sending an inquiry about a payment, the EN should use the reference number when submitting that request via email and send that request or that inquiry to the payments help desk. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. The Payments Help Desk cannot provide the following information. They cannot provide information regarding a ticket holder's benefits, inquiries, or disputes, information on earnings and SSA's records. They cannot provide information regarding claim months needed to complete the proof of relationship, nor information regarding the ticket holder's current entitlement or the claim months for the payment. What they can help you with is the reason for the denial, and they can provide you with a further explanation for an outreach email. Next slide, please. Overpayments. So EIN overpayments can result from a variety of causes, including adjudicative errors and systems problems and or other limitations. So when SSA becomes aware of an EIN overpayment, SSA will send the EIN a notice explaining the circumstances and the amount of money owed to SSA. The EIN will then have 10 business days from the date of the notice to dispute the determination and submit additional evidence. If the EIN does not respond to an EIN overpayment notice in a timely fashion and the EIN currently is receiving payments, SSA will initiate recovery of the EIN overpayment amount from future payments on any ticket that is assigned to the EIN. Failure to resolve overpayments or repeated payment suspensions may result in further recovery action and or termination of the EIN's TPA. Next slide. Thank you. Transitioning to self-employed ticket holders. As a reminder, when requesting payment for self-employed ticket holders, these payments are made based on verified earnings in the SSA's database from the Internal Revenue Service. So when you are submitting these payment requests, when you see that the earnings are already proven in the system, specifically for your Phase 1 milestones 1 through 3, please make sure that those requests are accompanied with or accompanied by a proof of relationship because it is required. Next slide, please. Concurrent ticket holders. This has been a hot topic. So your concurrent ticket holders are ticket holders that are receiving both Title 2 and Title 16 benefits. So we're going to break this down through the three phases and or the three types of payments so that we can hopefully give you guys a better understanding of how we assess these payment requests. So for your Phase 1 milestones, if the ticket holder is in current pay for both Title 2 and Title 16, we'll use the earnings that are provided to satisfy that payment. If the ticket holder is in current pay for only one entitlement, Title 2 or Title 16, the payment will be made based on the entitlement that is in current pay and meets the earnings requirements. For your Phase 2 milestones, if the ticket holder is in current pay for both Title 2 and Title 16, we'll use the earnings that satisfy the payment. If the ticket holder is in current pay for only one entitlement, Title 2 or Title 16, the payment will be made based on the entitlement that is in current pay and meets the earnings requirements. Next slide, please. Outcomes. If the ticket holder is in suspense for both Title 2 and Title 16, and the suspense is due to worker earnings, the payment can be made if earnings criteria are met under either entitlement. If the ticket holder is in suspense for both Title 2 and Title 16, but one of the entitlements is in suspense and it's not due to worker earnings, the payment can be made if earnings criteria are met under the entitlement that is in suspense due to worker earnings. Next slide, please. Our resources. As a reminder, we can be reached by phone Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern, toll-free at 866-949-9999. 3687 or 866-833-2967. Option 1 will send you to the Beneficiary Help Desk. Option 2 will send you to the EN Payments Help Desk. And Option 3 will send you to the Systems Help Desk. Or you can reach us by email. For issues regarding your payments, you can email us at enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. For questions and issues related to ticket assignment, the service provider website, and the ticket portal, you can email ensystemshelp@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Next slide, please. Keep in mind that we love for you guys to share what it is that you would like to see on these calls. So we invite you to share the topics that you'd be interested in discussing through this forum. Our goal is to help educate you and provide clarification on processes and procedures related to payments that matter to you. Please send your topics to the EN Payments Help Desk at enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Next slide, please. I'm going to kick it back to Catherine so she can get us started on our Q&A session.
Thank you, Nicole. That was a lot of information, a lot of great information as always. Next slide, please. Okay, we're going to start our interactive Q&A session. Just as a reminder to everyone, if you're joining via the phone, if you would raise your hand by pressing star 5 on your keypad, and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator, and then you'll press star 6 to unmute yourself. Now, if you're joining via MS Teams, just click the raise hand icon. We have Rebecca, who's going to unmute you. Then you'll need to click the microphone icon up top to unmute yourself. So I see we have a raised hand. All right, Rebecca, turn it over to you to identify our first raised hand.
Yes, our first question comes from Shauna. Your audio and video are active, and please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi. My question is, I wanted to see if you could explain why sometimes the phase two milestones, you pay 2 and then move on to outcomes, and sometimes you pay 5, and how that's decided.
Thank you for your question, Shauna. So I want to repeat it back just to make sure I'm understanding or I get it correct. So your question is, when you have your phase 2 milestones, why is it that sometimes you'll get 2, sometimes 5, 11, any number, and then all of a sudden they stop? Is that correct?
And how it's decided how many they get before you move into outcomes?
Okay, great question. So what would make them stop at a number that is just something you're not expecting would be because that ticket holder has entered suspense of receiving their benefits due to work or earnings. And so once that ticket holder enters suspense and they're no longer receiving their federal cash benefits due to work or earnings, that's when we will transition the ticket payments to the outcomes. Any available phase twos that were not addressed will be reviewed and looked at during the reconciliation period, and that takes place after you have received outcome number 12. Did that help?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Shauna. All right, Rebecca, do we have any other raised hands at this time?
At this time, I do not see any raised hands.
Okay. Just like to reiterate, I see one now. If you're joining via the phone and you'd like to ask a question, remember to press star 5, and that's going to raise your hand. And Rebecca is going to unmute you, and then you'll need to press star 6 to unmute yourself. In MS Teams, if you have any questions, please click the raise hand icon up top. Rebecca is going to unmute you, and just click the microphone to unmute yourself. Okay, Rebecca.
Yes, our next question comes from Trish. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
I have a question about the reconciliation phase. Is there a way to see what months were paid with that reconciliation?
Hi, Trish. Thank you for your question. So you were wanting to know what is captured within the reconciliation?
Correct. Yes.
I'm going to kick that one over to Kim because I am not as fluent with describing that.
Okay. Hi, so as far as the reconciliation payment, so it's not that, I think I'm understanding this correctly, so we don't use particular months for that. So once you receive your 12th outcome payment, then as Nicole mentioned earlier, if there were phase ones or phase and phase twos that you were eligible for, then those will be paid in one lump sum. So it's not divided out to, you know, over to say, you know, your reconciliation payment is paid for a particular month. It's just once you reach the 12th outcome, it is a lump sum payment that just goes back and picks up the phase ones or phase twos that you missed, that you were eligible for, right, that you missed. Was that your question?
Yes, thank you. We got a couple of reconciliation payments and I was like, I'm not sure what these are for. I didn't realize they came through as one lump sum. So I appreciate that.
Right. And how you could tell when you look at, you know, your payments made and things like that, you should be able to see in the portal, for example, let's say you got all of your phase ones. And then, you know, you receive phase two milestone one. And you know, depending on the entitlement, you may get 11 phase twos. So if they go right into outcomes and you get that lump sum, then looking at your payments, you'd be able to say, again, you won't have a clean month to look at, but you'd be able to say, oh, okay, I received my phase two milestone 2 through 11, you know, depending on entitlement.
Yep. So that's perfect. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you, Ms. Kim Cutler.
Welcome.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Nicole and Trish. Rebecca? We have another?
Yes, our next question comes from Samantha. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, yes, I have two questions, if that's okay. The first one being, we've noticed that we've received pending payments, I'm assuming from the ePay file, as they were payments we didn't request, but they were actually payments that we weren't due. So we were able to get those denied, but if we didn't catch those and they were paid, would that cause an overpayment?
Hi, Samantha. Thank you for your question. So you're asking if you received payments via ePay that you feel you were not due, if it were not caught by you, would that result in a potential overpayment?
Correct.
Okay. It is very possible that that could result in an overpayment if they were, in fact, not due. But just to explain it, so anything that is paid via ePay, those payments are made based on earnings already proven in the system. So we have the earnings updated to validate why those payments should be made to you.
Right. It does. Yeah. Okay. We just knew in our scenario that we were not due those payments.
Okay.
My second question, we've had to request reconsideration quite a few times for payments that should have been approved, and they were eventually after we had contacted the help desk. But I'm not sure if maybe anyone is going through, like, extra training or if there's someone we can reach out to, you know, regarding the situations we've had to request reconsideration on.
All right. Thank you for that also, Samantha. If you could, well, what I'll do is what's the name of your EN? And then I can do some additional research.
Full Circle.
Oh, you're Full Circle? Hi.
Hi.
So typically what happens if there is a situation where you do need to request reconsideration, the appropriate first step is to reach out to the payment help desk, and then they will bring it back to our attention to see if there is something that should have been adjudicated differently to validate that payment request. So the process that you're taking is the correct process, and anytime we see something that may be a trend or consistent, that does give us an opportunity to provide refresher trainings and enhancements. So thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Samantha. Rebecca, I see we have one individual on the phone and another through the app. If you'd like to see our next participant.
Yes. Our next question comes from caller 8488. You are unmuted. Please press star 6 to unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hello. Hello. Let's go to our next individual, Rebecca.
Okay, yes. Our next caller comes from Mark. You're unmuted. Please press star 6 to unmute yourself, and you can ask your question.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can, Mark. Yeah. Hi.
Okay, good. Thank you. My question is in regards to the processing for M1, P1M1 through P1M3s with POR. Is the if I have pay stubs as proof of earnings, would that suffice in lieu of the POR form itself?
Hi, Mark. Thank you for your question. Yes. So the question that Mark had was for phase one milestones 1 through 3, if pay stubs are available to the EN, will that suffice as proof of relationship? Absolutely. For your phase one milestones 1 through 3, pay stubs are the gold standard. That would be the best way to prevent or to provide your proof of relationship. And if you do not have those available, that's when the proof of relationship form is necessary to be sent in.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mark. All right, Rebecca, any other raised hands?
Yes, we have caller 8488. Your audio and video, or actually your, you are unmuted. Please press star 6 to unmute yourself and ask your question.
Which caller was that, Rebecca?
8488.
Can you hear us? We can hear you a little bit. Might want to turn the volume up.
Oh, can you hear me better now?
I sure can.
Fantastic. Thank you for your patience with me. I am Callie. I work at a small employment network, Able South Carolina. Something interesting happened back in September, and I'm trying to even figure out how to frame it as a question, so maybe you can help me out with that, too. I had two beneficiaries who I was seeking phase one, milestone one payments for. I had pay stubs in hand. I was excited that we were going to get these folks started on ePay, you know, even once I got through milestone 3. And the denial that came back was related to the FICA, the taxes not being clearly shown on the pay stubs. And so I reached back out to the beneficiary and was like, hey, you know, do you think you'd be willing to, you know, get with your employer about filling out this extra employer form? Neither of them felt super comfortable doing that. So I wondered how else, I mean, once they turn their pay stubs into Social Security through normal reporting, will Social Security verify the earnings? I feel kind of stuck with these FICA taxes because they both received services and they're both employed, you know, so I'm kind of stuck.
Hi, Callie. Thank you for your question. So your denial was related to FICA taxes, correct?
Yes. The one of them, it wasn't clearly shown, even though it was a county. The county was the employer. It just wasn't clearly shown on the pay stub. And then the second one, the employee themselves is responsible for filing their own taxes later, is what she said.
Okay. So for the first one, where they weren't clear, that's when I'll ask you to send that specifically to the payment help desk so we can take a look at it, because that's a specific situation where we can take another look. And I guess the best way to say is if you get an outreach where we can't read something or we're requesting something and you see it on your side but we can't see it, if you submit it again via fax and we still can't see it, the best step would be to put it in the mail, because that way we'll get a clear copy of what it is that you're sending.
Yeah, and it wasn't even – I just think it's the way that the pay stub was written. Like, I can't point to it, and it's not that it wasn't like it was blurry or anything. But I know that she's paying taxes because the county is the employer.
So yeah, send that email to the payment help desk, and then I will take a look at it. Ask them to forward it to me. I'll take a look at that case for you.
Tell me your name again. I'm sorry.
Nicole Black.
Nicole, thank you, Nicole.
Yes. You're welcome. And then the second one, it sounds like that's a self-employed ticket holder. If the taxes are not coming out, well, that's the category that they fall within. But just to make sure, because it sounds like it's case specific, send that one to me as well. I'll take a look at it, and then I'll be able to let you know for sure.
Okay, cool. I called the help desk, but didn't get a whole lot of resolution. And I guess my underlying question is still, you know, when these beneficiaries report to Social Security, is Social Security going to turn away the pay stubs? Because I was just, you know, will they eventually be verified, or you'll take a look at it?
I'll take a look at it because this one is specific. It's case specific. Okay. When the ticket holders report their earnings to SSA, SSA does process their earnings and enter the data in.
Are they looking for the FICA?
I can't speak to how SSA adjudicates the pay stubs when they are submitted to the field office, but when we get them, that is one of our requirements.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Nicole.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Callie. Rebecca?
Yes, our next question comes from Jen. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, Jen. Can you hear us? If you'll click your microphone up top to unmute. Jen?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we sure can. Hi.
So sorry about that.
No problem.
So mine was kind of a follow-up question to the last one asked. We got several clients that work for like a school district, and so their pay stubs, a lot of them come off like payroll calendars. It'll give like an end date, or it'll give like a pay date, and we have to refer to a calendar. Is there, other than like an employer's prepared earnings statement, because I was told that the calendars are not acceptable, is there any other method or any other supporting documentation that we can submit to prove, like, you know, pay periods and pay dates?
The work number report. Oh, sorry. Hi, Jen. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So when we're needing something specific regarding the pay period, like that on the pay stub, and the employer doesn't provide all the necessary information on those stubs for us to have, the employer prepared earnings statement is necessary, or you can use a work number report to submit the dates.
Okay. All right. Just want a clarification. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Nicole, this is Kim. I'd also like to add the supplemental earnings statement is something that they can use as well. Of course, they would have to get the employer. So you do have the employer prepared earnings statement. That's a separate form, but just an additional resource would be the supplemental earnings statement. You'd be able to enter, the employer would be able to enter that information as well. So that's just an additional form that you can use to make sure that we're getting the correct information to process your payment.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
All right, Rebecca, I see we have another raised hand.
Yes, our next question is coming from Janine. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hello?
Hello. Hi, Janine.
Hi, am I here?
Yes, you are. You're here.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Okay. So I have two questions. One of them is you were saying, Nicole, that, oh, by the way, hi, Nicole. You were saying that the payment helpline is not able to tell us what months we would be eligible for the claim months to do a pay request, correct?
Yes, ma'am. That is correct.
Okay. Are they able to tell us any any records of earnings that Social Security has acknowledged so we can get an idea of what month we can claim for. Because we have an individual who has provided pay stubs, but she hasn't provided all of her pay stubs because Social Security has acknowledged that there's earnings for months that we don't have pay stubs for. And so we're having a hard time deciding and figuring out what claim month to go for. And so would they be able to help give that information so we can kind of get an idea?
Unfortunately, they can't provide any earnings documentation information or earnings verification information that we have on record. But Janine, do me a favor and send that reference number to the help desk and then ask them to send it to me so I can take a look at it for you.
Well, I did, and I've got the email back that says that there is earnings for April of 2024, and yet our information isn't adding up on the counting of the months because we're going for the phase one milestone three.
Yeah, send that to me because that's specific, and I need to look at it, and I can take a deeper dive and get back to you on that one for sure.
Okay, is there a specific email that I can get that sent to?
Just send it to the payment help desk and ask them to forward it to me.
Well, they were the ones that sent me the email that said that our claim month was incorrect.
Yeah, just have them send it to me and then I'll look at it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the other one is we were trying to put in pay stubs into the portal and we got to a claim month and it would not allow us to put the rest of the pay stubs in for that month. Only allowed us to put in one, and there's three other checks, and it said that there was no other way to put it in the rest of that month.
All right, so I want to repeat this one back. So you were trying to enter additional pay stubs that you have to request the payment, but the portal wouldn't allow you to enter the data?
For that claim month, yes.
For that, okay, I'm going to ask.
We put in all the previous ones up to the claim month. But it would not let us completely put all of the pay stubs for that month in.
Kim's got it.
We may still have to send it over. I just want to make sure that, okay, so you're able to enter some of the pay stubs, which is fine. So what you can do is you still should be able to submit your request. Just send those additional pay stubs in with your request using your fax cover sheet that's associated with the payment request. And then someone that, you know, on the that's processing the payment, we can actually key enter the additional earnings. So, yeah, so what you need to do is just enter what you can, but it should not prevent you from still requesting your payment. However, make sure you send in those additional pay stubs because we would need that information to complete the month to make sure that we're getting all of your earnings. So key what you can and then just make sure you're submitting the additional earnings. And once we start processing that, we should be able to enter the earnings based off of your submitted evidence.
Nice. Sweet. Okay, great. That will help so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Rebecca. Do we have another raise hand?
Yes, we do. Our next question comes from Jonathan. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So I have a beneficiary who is self-employed and has been, you know, operating her own business for a number of years. And we haven't been able to bill for any outcome payments because she was in outcome status. And at first glance for her financial records back from 2022, and 2023, she is earning above SGA. So I'm just curious if you had any suggestions about how I might go about addressing that or verifying whether we're eligible for payments.
So with the self-employed ticket holders, the earnings that are verified in the system, which we would be able to, hi, Jonathan. I just jumped right in. Okay. The earnings to be verified by the Internal Revenue Service before we can do anything as it relates to reviewing the payment request. That one's hard because I see you've seen their information, but it all depends on how the IRS receive the information and then how it's uploaded into the system and amortized or broken out over the course of the year for the earnings.
Okay.
So to answer your question, unfortunately, there's nothing you can do at this time. But we do hear your frustrations and we do understand what it is that you are having to do with the ticket holders who are self-employed, and we appreciate you working with them, but we do have to wait on the IRS earnings information to be uploaded in the system and verified for us to make a payment on it.
Okay. Thank you, Nicole.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jonathan. All right, Rebecca, are there any other raised hands?
Yes, our next question comes from Kim. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, Kim.
Can you hear me?
Sure,
I can hear you guys. I have a question with this new two-way engagement that Social Security is requiring us to have with our beneficiaries each month or quarterly. I'm worried that there's a delay in like payments and we've had to remove somebody from the program that we might not be eligible for that, those payments. Has that been discussed at all? I don't know if you understand my question or dilemma, but.
So you're asking about how it is that you are able to request payments for ticket holders who the ticket's been unassigned? Due to the two-way communication? Okay. So if the ticket is unassigned by the employment network, by you, due to lack of two-way communication, we will pay you for the claim month prior to ticket unassignment if all other earnings criteria is met.
Okay. And is there a way that you would know that that's the reason why they were unassigned?
No, we just know if it's the ticket holder that unassigns it or the ticket holder or the employment network that unassigns it. And that's how we make the determination from there. That information specifically regarding the ticket unassignment is in the TPA. I do not know the page off the top of my head, okay. But if you go to, if someone can look at that for me. But the section under payments, like if you go to the TPA and put in the search unassignment, it will spell out exactly how we process payments if the tickets are unassigned by the ticket holder and then how they are processed if they are unassigned by the employment network and what the time periods look like for you in order to request additional payments if applicable to the situation.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So, yeah, I'm so sorry I don't have those pages off the top of my head.
That's okay.
Search for unassignment, and it'll take you to that portion of the TPA.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Kim. All right, Rebecca, any other raised hands?
Yes. Our next question comes from caller 8524. You are unmuted. Please press *6 to unmute yourself and ask your question.
And that was caller 8. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Barely, maybe a little louder.
Oh, hi. Turning up the volume. Hi. How about that?
Sounds good. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Hi, this is Erin with Rehability. And hi, Nicole.
Hi, Erin.
Hi. I have a question that's been on my mind for a while. I was on the call in August, I believe, and there was a brief discussion about the issue of, and somebody said it came across the Gov delivery system about if that when the Ticket to Work program verifies income, that Social Security is going to accept that as verification, and it sounded like the systems were becoming more integrated. And I apologize, I don't know if you talked about it earlier on the call today. I had to go take a different call, so my apologies if you already brought that up. But first of all, is it clear what I'm asking, and do you need clarification?
Yes, Erin, thank you for your question. So you're asking if you submit or if the EN submits pay stubs or evidence of earnings for their ticket holders, will we enter that information in the system and then does it get
transition to, or is SSA able to see that earnings documentation as well? Is that what you're asking?
Right. I'm wondering about the collaboration or integration between the ticket to work and the Social Security system.
So what I can speak to is that any earnings documentation that you submit to us regarding the ticket holder for the claim months that you're requesting, we do enter all of that earnings information into the system, and then it is in SSA's database that the income has been reported for that ticket holder.
Okay, because recently I sent an email to the help desk because I thought we were heading that way, but then I was told that, you know, Social Security still has to do something with that information. And, you know, I had the pay stubs, excuse me, from last June, and and Social Security, for some reason, still is not verifying that, you know, this person was way over SGA and, you know, their benefits should have stopped. So that's so what I'm confused that, you know, I did a test run and it still wasn't taking it and I'm still not getting paid.
So this is specifically related to not so much you receiving payments for it. It's really just verifying the earnings. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, in the sense that, okay, so I had this issue with one particular, well, actually two, but I'll just focus on one. I finally got the pay stubs from them, and then I submitted to you all, expecting that you would collaborate, I mean, that Social Security would collaborate with you and, you know, somehow say, yep, you're right, they shouldn't be receiving benefits because they're way over SGA in phase two. So, but that never happened, and I'm still being blocked from payment.
So basically, whatever you send in, we do enter the earnings. As it relates to the ticket holder having their benefits suspended or anything related to their entitlement, that's something that has to be addressed at the field office level. We just enter the data. So that is something that I would recommend either having the ticket holder go to the field office or maybe having a conference call with that ticket holder just so that you can kind of get down to the bottom of what it is that they have on their side, but I rest assured anything that you send in is definitely getting entered into the system.
Okay. And is this a new change that, you know, now your entry of the data is recognized by Social Security, or has that always been the case? Did something change?
From what I know, or from my knowledge, this has always been the case. Anything that we entered is entered is in the system.
Oh, I thought it was a new change. Okay. So it's my, I misunderstood. So, okay. All right. Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Erin.
Thank you, Erin. I'm going to pause just one moment. We have about 10 minutes left in the call. So just like to remind everyone, if you'd like to ask a question, you know, raise your hand by pressing *5 if you're on the phone, *6 to unmute. Click the raise hand icon up top. Okay, Rebecca?
Yes, our next question comes from Trish. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphones on mute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Okay. It's regarding the 18-month look-back period, and this may or may not be specific to us. I'm an employer EN as well as a traditional EN, and then when at one point, I had to have two SAM codes, and they have since gotten rid of that, and I only have one SAM. And I have an employee that was with my traditional EN that has moved to my employer EN, and when I go to bill on him, I'm getting a denial because of the 18-month look back. How do I fix that?
Hi, Trish. Thank you for your question. This does sound like something that is specific to,
okay.
It's a unique situation. So send this question or the reference number to the payment help desk and ask them to forward to me, and we will take a look at it for you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Trish.
Can I just add something really quick about that? Just please remember that and it may be an issue, so Nicole may be right about sending it, but just remember that the 18-month look back, when we put the information in, it's based on the first ticket assignment. So that may be what's going on, but definitely send it over to Nicole. But I just wanted you guys to know that when there are multiple assignments, and when it comes to, you know, you still have your phase ones, and when it comes to your, phase one milestones and doing your 18-month look back, it is going to be based off of the first ticket assignment. So we're looking at those months prior to that assignment. So that may be the case here, but go ahead.
That's okay. We were his employer when we were the traditional EN, but then we were told because we were an employer, we needed to have two different PIDs. So, you know, it got real sticky with having to transition from the traditional to the employer. And now it's knocking out claims but we're still the same company. I mean, it's both of them are called community services program. We just have, you know, two different PIDs, one for traditional and one for employer.
Right. So they're
So that's why it's kicking it out. Yeah.
Right. So again, So there are things to be seen with circumstances that Nicole can, you know, really explain a little bit more offline about how that works when you're changing, PIDs and stuff like that. So yeah, that will affect your payments. But again, I won't go down that rabbit hole here. So yeah, Nicole, I'm gonna go back off camera because what Nicole said was right. Just send it out to her, but just wanted to kind of let you know too about the 18 month limit. Okay. I'm gonna go back off camera now, Nicole.
Thank you, Kim.
Yep. Thank you, Trish. Do we have any other raised hands at this time?
Catherine, no, at this time we do not have any raised hands.
Okay. Let's see if we can get Rose to go back to slide 18 for just a moment. I'd like to remind everyone that we still have time. We have 9 minutes left in the call. If you have a question, just raise your hand. I see one.
Yes, our next question comes from Wendy. Your audio and video are active. Please click your microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you, Wendy?
Hey, good. I'm good, Nicole. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, good. I have a question that is kind of strange. Okay. I had to unassign one of my beneficiaries recently because he was only working seasonally. He was working like May, June, July, August, and sometimes September, usually not October. So when I'm trying to figure those, you know, when I get up into the phase one milestone three, because I can't, you know, work into that, months were dropping off, I guess is what I'm saying on the other side. So I found out that the beneficiary opened a case with VR. And he signed a release of information. So the VR agent called me and he said, well, I was just wondering why you unassigned him. And I said, well, because if he's just going to continue to work part-time seasonally, then he's not going to pass a timely progress review. And he's, you know, it's not a goal of full-time employment, right? How is it possible that the VR counselor did not know about the trial work periods? He says, what are those? I said, are you new? And he said, well, kind of. I've been here 3 years. Now, I know they do reimbursement fee for services kind of things, especially if they ever have to do, like any AT or things like that. But, you know, that just really is a problem for ENs because, I mean, we're a small EN, we're trying to build it up and we're busting our butts for every, you know, milestone and payment that we can get. And I mean, we're supposed to have a partnership plus with VR, and we know more than they do is basically what I'm thinking in a lot of respects about how it works. So anyway, I don't know if you can address that or not, but.
Thank you, Wendy. Yeah, that one is a little complex, but that is something that I would recommend you reach out to your ENDT training analyst. They may be able to assist you in, you know, with the Partnership Plus piece of it and the calls and the communication with the VR to bring them up to speed with the processes.
Do they submit for, I mean, the phase one milestones? I mean, I know VR helps a lot of people going to school and things like that, but I mean, do VR agencies do the same kind of submissions for phase payments as phase one mile, phase one payments, phase two outcome as ENs do? Am I?
So I'm not familiar with how the VR.
Okay.
How their payments are adjudicated. Kim is going to step in here.
Okay.
Yeah. So for the VRs, it's a whole different system. So to answer your question, no, they don't bill for phase ones, phase twos, outcomes. That is, they are under the cost reimbursement, phase. So it's their payment system is completely different than the employment network payments under the ticket to work program. Two different pots, right? So you're right. You guys, they provide services. You provide services. So the way that you guys, way that the VRs, bill for payment and EN's bill for payment are completely separate.
Okay. Thank you.
Unless they are VR EN, that goes into something else. Unless they are a VR acting as an EN, then they fall under the same payment method. But if just straight providing vocational rehabilitation services under cost reimbursement, two separate systems.
Okay. Hi, this is Candace. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I thought I could jump in and explain it a little bit.
Thank you, Candace.
You're welcome. So for cost reimbursement, they're not getting paid payments like
It muted, Candace.
Candace, we lost you.
I think we did lose Candace.
She was going to provide some good information, too.
I know. We'll give her a moment to join back.
Yeah.
I see. Hi, Candace.
Hi. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Basically, I wanted to just explain a little bit about the cost reimbursement program versus the EN payment. So cost reimbursement, the VRs will get reimbursement if the beneficiary reaches a continuous period of SGA for 9 out of 12 months. So that is what their goal is. So what they get, they have an IPE instead of an IWPE, and the beneficiary actually, you know, works with the counselor, signs an IPE to set a goal for what work they want to do or what counts, any kind of job help that they need from the VR. The beneficiary will get services provided from the VR and help them achieve a CP of SGA to finally become self-sufficient and come off the rolls, where for EN payments, it's different. So you both are providing services, but it's also based off of when the beneficiary actually walks into the VR and has the benefit. The VR helps them. I'm sorry. The VR will assist them, and then they will sign an IPE to decide what their goal will be in the future. So they help with a lot of schooling, counseling, job placement, resume writing, anything that the beneficiary needs to help them achieve a goal and, you know, to receive employment. So we have to wait until they have exactly 9 out of 12 months for a continuous period of SGA before we can actually reimburse the VR. So they're not receiving like a payment for milestone one or phase two or outcomes. They are actually getting, they are actually getting reimbursement for the time that they worked with the beneficiary to the time they actually closed the case. So it's a whole different payment system. I hope that was a little clear.
Thank you, Candace.
Thanks, Candace.
You're welcome.
All right. I don't see any more raised hands. Rebecca, we don't have any more at this time?
No raised hands at this time. That
is it. Well, so move to close the call. If you'll go to slide 21. We'd like to thank everyone today. Thank you, Nicole, Kim, SSA, and the participants for all your questions and your time. The date for the next online payments call will be communicated via Gov Delivery. And remember, if you have any questions, you can contact the EM Payments Help Desk at yourticketwork.ssa.gov. And everyone have a wonderful day. Thank you. This call is now concluded.